If God is your father, I assume you say, oh, yes. I'm a little bit naughty if I say that God the Father is, if I look at around, maybe not the best father you can find. And the reason why is because I look at his children, I look at myself. He's raising me up. And sometimes I'm thinking, because I'm stubborn, but sometimes you could think, looking around the world, if God is good and these are his children, what's wrong? Because they don't like or act like their father does. And I think the church has to change in attitude, in heart, in behavior to be more Christ-like instead of being Christians. So this is a little bit my sermon this morning about something I want to share. But I was thinking like last week it was Easter and DJ did a very good job. Don't you agree? I was listening to the sermon. Yeah, I did. But I was asking the question for myself, if Jesus died for you and we were celebrating his resurrection, that sounds very nice and very typical to do on Easter. But in our own service, I spoke to the people in the church and I said, you know, for myself, it's nice to celebrate somebody who died for me and rose from the dead, but what about me? And actually, I think it's my birthday. The day that Jesus raised from the dead is my birthday. Because he died for me. And when he rose from the dead, I rose with him. And it's my birthday. And so we're celebrating not only that he died for us and rose from the dead, we're celebrating our birthday. So like next week, it should be a wedding feast or a birthday party. I can see you love parties. I fully agree with Greg. Let the church be crazy in love and celebrating weddings and birthdays every Sunday. Because every Sunday you stop and think about the wonderful grace that Jesus Christ was willing to die for you. Some excitement, please. 1 John 4. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born out of God and knows God. Are you born out of God? Do you know God? Are you sure? Gee, show me. In the way you act, speak, feel, and walk, talk, and how you are church together in your home group and wherever you are. The most attractive thing in the world is love. And to be loved. God is love. All the things that we are doing on church, courses, etc. has only one point, is for you to help you to fall in love with Jesus Christ. And that you express that love that you feel and receive from him to other people. And it starts in your marriage, then it starts in your home group, in your family, and to the rest of the world. And I was thinking about coming here for the last 10 years, and every time I come, I feel prophetic things in my heart for you to reach the city. You should have outgrown this building 3 times already in the last 10 years. So, I act a little bit like Rick. What's wrong with you? I can do it in New Day. What's wrong with you? What is not working? So, for the fact that you not reached the city and planted maybe 10 churches or have a building with 5,000-6,000 people. Why not? Did you lose your dream? You know, I think we don't understand how much God loves us. I think we're missing the deepness of his love for us. You know, when somebody falls in love, they act crazy. if you have a lunch with somebody who's in love, they can talk only about one thing for 2 hours. But it's a good sign. Because when you fall in love, your whole world is upside down. And you can think and talk only about one thing. And I remember, and that's what I said, there comes a day when in our marriage, before and when the time we were dating, I did my utmost best to win her heart. And you do crazy things to win somebody's heart if you fall in love. Until the day that you come to your knees and actually you bow down for the one you love and you ask her, are you willing to marry me? And God is doing the same to the whole world. He's coming to his knees, madly in love with everybody in this world, and he's asking everybody, are you willing? With tears in his eyes, are you willing to marry me? I will give my life for you. I will sacrifice everything. And everything that's going to be what mine is going to be yours if you say yes to me. And you don't have to go through hoops or whatever. The only thing I'm asking, please, say yes. I didn't ask Leah to qualify and to have diplomas or to go to university or to go to trainings or whatever. I only asked her to answer my love for her. And God is doing the same. He's not asking you to be perfect. He's not asking you to have a degree or work hard for him or be the best person. The only thing he's asking, please say yes to me. And everything that's mine is going to be yours. And we don't understand it because we still try to work up our salvation. We still don't understand his deep love for us, that he is willing to accept us the way we are and then change us in the way he wants us to be, but in a gentle, loving way. Why do you think he promised us the Holy Spirit? Most of us today think so we are empowered to have gifts and to work in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And I say, no, that's a product, a fruit of it. But the most important thing is that he wants you, that he gives you the Holy Spirit to work in you to become Christ-like in character. And that's something that we miss so much in my own life. And there's still a lot of things to do. And I'm so happy that God is not giving up on me and on you. Because he wants to work in our hearts and in our lives. God's character is like 2 Corinthians 1 says, verse 2, grace and peace from God. It says something about who he is. Grace and peace from your Father to you. So he's telling him and explaining who God is. God is gracious and he's peaceful. And he says, because you're my child, you should be. That's the whole point. But we find it quite difficult. And then he says, the God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, praise to be God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion. So you, when you are his child, he's expecting us to be compassionate. And the God of all comfort, who comforts all us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those who and anyone who is in and needs comfort and is in trouble. So God says, this is my character. But when you are born out of God and you said all yes, and I'm talking to myself too, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with us? Why aren't we acting, behaving? When we say we died with him and raised with him, we are placed in Jesus Christ. And we all say yes because we're saved, we're born again out of God and in Jesus Christ. He's the head of the church. But I'm so desperately wanting people around me that help me and help each other to become more Christ-like. But the most important thing that God gave us is the Holy Spirit. But another thing is 1 Corinthians 14:3. But for whoever is prophesying, speaking on behalf of God, is strengthening, encouraging, and comforting your brothers and sisters. That's speaking on behalf of God. But this is his character. So we all know about the fruits of the Spirit. Not the fruits, but the fruit. Before somebody starts correcting me. But the fruit is equal to character. This is God's character. It's love. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Oh my goodness, is this a new law that I have to live up to? That was my question when I was reading it again. But you know, God gave us an environment, and that's why I had this picture, toxic environment. We need a toxic environment. And it seems a little bit awkward, but it's for a purpose. Because we, when your life is going well and everything is going for you, you're not changing. You're only enjoying. For the fact that, let's say, patience is growing not when people are always doing well for you and everything is going well and everybody's agreeing with you and there are not weird people in your life, then patience is not growing in you. You need resistance to grow in patience. Actually, you also need resistance in growing in love. You need to bump into people that are not so easy to love. Awkward people. Difficult people. Because then you will be tested how deep love is already rooted in you. And it gives you the opportunity to grow. And I think in churches we so often missing the opportunities to grow in character. We walk away from it. We don't like it because it's confronting us in our lacking of the character of Jesus Christ. And we don't like it, so we walk away. So I was looking at God is giving us at least, and there are more, but three important environments where we can grow. Firstly, is of course, but I set that one apart in our relation with God, but in our environment. It's our marriage, our family, and church. I don't like it when my wife is confronting me. With stuff in my life that are not Christ-like. I don't like it when the Holy Spirit is confronting me with things in my life that are not Christ-like. My first reaction is to walk away. To hide myself, to ignore it, to feel sometimes threatened by it. Quite often I refuse to accept it that somebody, or even when it's my wife or somebody else or the Holy Spirit is talking to me, that I have to change. Because I will say, that's who I am. You know, when we are born again, the preacher is painting a picture about how good God is and how good life is with Jesus Christ, and you buy into the dream. And you surrender yourself to the dream. And then they tell you, to walk in the dream, you have to be educated. So you go do foundation scores and big picture and counseling and whatever to become a better person. And then sometimes you discover it's not working because you want to be that dream. And a lot of Christians are so disappointed, they hardly dare to dream anymore. But I think one of the key things is that we're missing the point to allow the Holy Spirit to change our character. We are missing the point that we don't allow our brothers and sisters to help us to change in character. Because you can have qualifications and run all the courses and pray as long as you want, but if you don't allow the Holy Spirit and the Word of God to change your character, you're not doubling this church in the coming 5 years. Because you're not attractive. Because character is how you speak, how you act, and how you betray or handle with people. If the love of God is not growing in your character, we won't win the world. The church should go towards each other. That's what I said more often. When you come to this morning service, you should come prepared because you love your brothers and sisters. And actually you're saying, what can I do this morning to serve you? Can I pray for you? Lord, give me some prophetic words for my brothers and sisters so I can strengthen them this morning. Because I know for myself and others, we need to be strengthened by God's word. And use your children, use me this morning to strengthen somebody else. If they need a word of encouragement that you so love them, give me a key word that they will understand, that they know that they are so loved by you. That's the purpose of coming together, because out of that meeting with God, you will start celebrating. First Peter 1:15-16. But just as he called you to be holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Be holy. Not be holy like I am holy, but be holy because I am holy. So we had Steve Wilson in a few weeks ago, and he had a wonderful sermon. Teaching, inspiring, led by the Holy Spirit, for me at least. He says, when God is saying this, be holy because I'm holy, he says, when I've got a cold and I'm sneezing, what do you get from me? God is holy. When he is sneezing on you, what do you get? When God is sneezing love, what do you get? Can you allow the Holy Spirit this morning again? In whatever way God wants to do it this morning, that he's sneezing on you. Holiness, patience, love, joy, whatever you open your heart for, ask him this morning, please, Lord, if you are holy, I am holy. If you are love, I want to be love. Grow and change it in me. So, and I was looking about those gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, joy, and you can separate them in three: love, joy, and peace. They are growing in an upward intimacy with the Holy Spirit, with God, in your personal time. And they change the way you think about yourself and the way you think about God and the way you think about people. Love, joy, and peace. Those three you find in your personal time with God. And they grow in that time because God is speaking to you, revealing his love to you, and his joy over you, and his peace over you. Amen? The other three, patience, kindness, goodness, is in a horizontal relationship where they grow. It's in the way we feel. That's why we need sometimes a toxic environment to help them grow. Patience. And one of the things, like marriage or raising up children, is a wonderful way to grow in patience. For a home group leader to lead a home group with 10 people, it's a wonderful place to grow in patience. Even at your work or at your whatever sport you play in a team, it's all opportunities to grow in patience. But we miss the whole point. Quite often. Kindness, goodness. But faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control are worked inward by the Holy Spirit in us. They change our behavior. And I think today, And it's on my heart. If I can lay something down this morning for you as a church, prophetically, I think you have to take time to think this through. If you want to become and fulfill the dream that God has for you as a church, please together start working on your character. Because the world is not a fool. And they're not stupid. They don't like your programs. They don't like your meetings. They're searching for the love of Christ. Nothing else, nothing less. Because when Jesus says, what is the biggest commandment? And Paul's repeating it, is loving your neighbor as yourself. Because loving God, you can hide and you can, and I can see, and maybe you can trap me on the things that we can speak so nicely about, I'm loving God. And you can lie as much as you want and do spiritual things. But the fact that where people are searching for is, do you love somebody else? And that's proven. I can see it. I can hear it. And you can taste love or not. When I walked in this morning, I could see the changes at the counter for the coffee, etc. Why? Now, you can see the change, but I could also see it was done with love for guests to feel at home. People at the door were saying, welcome, good to see you again. It's small things, it's not the big things. Like Leah was saying, it's not the big things, like coming together as a church. And the world is not searching for meetings. The world is so desperately searching for God. And you are his agents to bring not your wisdom, not your Bible study stuff. It will come later, but not in the first place. They're searching. Is there something or somebody that really loves me and is willing to serve me, to say, I love you? What can I do for you? And most of us have to start in our marriages. It's a shocker how many Christians are getting divorced. It tells me not that they are not children of God. It tells me something about that they didn't allow the Holy Spirit in the last 10, 15, 20 years to work on their character. Because I can't believe when the Holy Spirit is changing your character that you're not able to sort the problems in your marriage. Let's end with Romans 5, Romans 5, 1 to 6. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Amen. Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So I hope you stand in that grace, that you are loved, and that the Holy Spirit is in you to change your character. You know, too many Christians are focused on the gifts and on leadership, etc. It's all nice. It's all part of the whole project, how God wants to reach the world. But if you are gifted, let's say healing, and your character is not able to carry your gift, you've got a problem. Not maybe the first year, but it will come. And it will catch you, and you will fall. And you will hurt more people than you heal people. Not only so, but we rejoice in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance. And perseverance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us because God has poured out his love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom he has given us. You see, at just the right time when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Man, this is a wonderful message. God died for you, he loves you, and he's saying to us, I am pouring my love in you. Don't hide it away, please. Let it come out of your life, in your speak, in your thinking, acting, in your marriage, in your family, in your church, and to the world. Amen. Amen.